Stephen Callaghan. I'm currently living in Dubbo. I've been here for about 5-6 years. Newcastle born and bred. My mother was Welsh, from a Scottish father and a Welsh mother. And my father was Australian, from a Wanneroo lady and an Australian man. The house we bought had solar panels on it. The area is ex-Housing Commission, and it, pretty much every house has solar panels that just feed into the grid. When we got there, the feed-in didn't seem to be as much as it should be. And of course, you get pittance now from the energy companies. We get 4 cents a kilowatt feed-in, and they charge us 30 cents a kilowatt. I've got a guy in to look at the panels, and he told us that it was old technology, where basically we've got a tree. He said if that tree covers part of one panel, that panel, one panel, only operates at the percentage, and all the other panels operate at that percentage too. They all go down to the lowest common denominator. But there's a new way of arraying them, that it doesn't matter if one panel's blocked out or whatever it thinks. So we looked at systems, and we looked at rebates, and we looked at what our electricity bill was, and it was just climbing and climbing. And we thought, we can't keep paying, you know, $6,000 a year on electricity, and it's only going to get more expensive. So we looked and got quotes and quotes. We ended up getting a 7 kilowatt solar array, which is 5 kilowatts facing north and 2 1-kilowatts facing east and west. So even right at sunset on the west panel, we still get 500 watts trickling in till it's dark. And we also got a 12.8 kilowatt battery and a smart inverter. And the app that comes with it, you can see what electricity is being used. And it's an epiphany of how we've been wasting electricity. And I'm sure everyone does the same. And when we use electricity, I got into the habit, because we were once, a long time ago, on a time of day rate for electricity, and we got cheaper electricity at night. So I've been running the washing machine all night, just out of habit, and that's what I do. That's not when you do your stuff with solar. And now I'm up every morning at 8 o'clock, as soon as the panels start generating. They start generating from sun up, but as soon as they hit 2000 watts, I've got the washing machine on, I've loaded the dishwasher, vacuuming, doing all the power intensive things. Now, we've had the panels on and this battery on for what, maybe getting on for 3 weeks now. When we were just on the grid, we were using 55 kilowatts a day, which is excessive, but we've got two teenagers living at home who have no idea, you know, what they're like, and air conditioner on when it's minus 2 degrees and stuff like that. Since the panel's been on, we have used a total, so we have bought a total of 82 kilowatts in nearly somewhere between 16 and 20 days. But I looked at everything we did and when we did it. We had a chest freezer going, and we looked at it and we thought, okay, this fridge we've got is on its way out. Let's get a bigger fridge that's more energy efficient, which we did. We emptied out and turned off the chest freezer and put all this stuff in the side-by-side freezer. And once it cools down, fridges are incredibly economical to run, like 150 kilowatt hours. I can isolate everything, ceiling fans. It's funny because the kids had heaters in their rooms, and I jokingly, who's got a heater on? Because I can see it spike. But what's happening is we are doing most of the stuff during the day, and I understand it's going to be different in summer when we're using air conditioning and things like that. But the aim is to not use any grid electricity and to go to sunset with the battery 100% full. 98.9 is all it goes up to. But, and then we have, and I know what we have overnight. And if we don't run any heaters or air conditioners, we can live a normal life. The fridge, cook, watch TV, the kids can have their computers on, gaming, whatever. We can live a normal life overnight, completely off grid, and still wake up in the morning with anywhere between 40 and 60% of the battery capacity left. A couple of times we've had two really rainy days, and that's when we use the majority of that 80 odd kilowatts is we have used electricity overnight because the batteries run out by midnight. I've changed the off-peak hot water to just heat up in the day, because now it heats up off the solar. Changing them for me has been very easy because I'm motivated, and Tracy's motivated because we pay the bills. Getting the kids motivated and getting them to change, because they're teenagers and they do school. The oldest one's got a part-time job and she does TAFE. They're nocturnal, basically. So they come out of their rooms at like 7 or 8 o'clock and they want to use the air fryer. They want to cook something in the oven. They want to wash their clothes for the next morning. So it's getting, and I'd say to them, I've given them a couple of weeks grace, but now I've said, if you want your washing done, it's got to be out in the hallway by morning and I'll do it. But no more washing at night, because we've got a front loader and it's horrendous. It uses 3,000 kilowatt hours and the cycle's like 3 hours. So that's practically one battery gone. So we've managed. I'm still working on our plan for winter and how we're going to adapt then, because again, and we're guilty of it, you know, you just whack the air conditioning on and just cool down. But now what we can do is we can have the air conditioning on low during the day and then still have enough, once the sun goes down, have enough power in the battery to run it. So if we run it half and half, you know, we might get 2 or 3 hours out of the battery. It can be done. It's the changing of the mindset of when to use power, because, you know, we're pretty privileged. You just, it's there. You just switch it on. You just use it. You've never worried about it before. People are worrying about it now because it's getting damn expensive. The only reason we were able to do this and get the system we wanted was because Tracy's father died and he left me $17,000, and we spent it otherwise we wouldn't have been able to do it. Just wasn't an option. We were going to get the solar panels replaced next year, but we were able to get the battery, the inverter, the smart inverter and the panels. You've got to wonder why even now, this should have been made mandatory on all new buildings years ago. It saves money, it saves pollution. The grid, I gather the people who run the grids, own the grids, electrical grids, are pushing against it because obviously they lose money. And they're also having trouble. When we got it installed, our electrician told us, because there's so much solar in this area, we were getting into our house 258 volts or something. And he said that's because everyone's feeding back into the grid. And they've got to come up with a solution for that. But the solution is hubs. We could all have batteries on our houses and we could share them into a mini grid, or we could have a large battery that everyone's solar panels feed into. And, you know, we pay for the electricity out of that, but at a decent, affordable rate. But we live in a very low socioeconomic area. I honestly don't know, looking at our electricity bill, how some of our neighbours are coping. Because of COVID, we found out that we didn't get our meter read for a year and a month, and then they read it and they went, oh, you've used a lot more electricity than we've expected. And we were hit with a $2,800 bill in one go, and we thought, okay, that's because they didn't read the meter, blah blah blah. We wore it, and then the next month when they did read the meter, it was still like $1,300. And we've got two kids, and I know a lot of my neighbors, they've got kids. I just don't know how maybe they're not paying their bills. Maybe electricity's being turned off. Well, we're constantly told by, I gather, and I suspect, vested interests, that the technology's not ready and base load power, you still need coal and everything like that. And yes, for industry you do, but I can see it. I'm looking at my phone app for my solar install, my virtual power plant, they call them. The technology's here now to provide that to everyone. Everyone could do this and if it's mass produced, everyone could do this for probably $10,000. And let's face it, $10,000 a household, in the great scheme of things, giving money away, you know, for different things, will make it not, you know, that much of a huge difference in the long term, considering the coal. But the, you know, then you got coal miners who are out of jobs and transport, things like that. But they didn't seem to worry when it was car workers or dairy farmers or anyone else. So I think we've just got to adapt to a new economy. We're privileged enough to have had the opportunity to get this. And also our background, I'm long been an early adopter, you know, what's called an early adopter. And even though I didn't early adopt solar, I've got into it the first chance. And this car is due for renewal in March next year. It's on a salary sacrifice lease. And we're definitely going EV. And we're going to charge it from solar from the house, trickle charge. We don't do that many Ks now. Around town, it could be virtually zero cost to run as far as fuel goes. But at the moment, it's not economical for the average person to do, let alone people on government benefits and casual work. Their first priority is a roof over their head and food on the table. And electricity seems to be the way they, and I'm guilty of this too in the past, the way they bill it, it's sort of like you use it, then you get the shock, and then you negotiate and you pay it off and whatever. Well, I've been there, I've had to pay off electricity bills. Now my main concern, and I think this will be a concern even if with big take up, is the homeowners won't be getting equitable value from the power generators. I used to think that if someone saw the writing on the wall and saw heading straight into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, they might think about putting their foot on the brake or veer to one side. Doesn't seem like we're going to do that. I can see a future where it's not going to be survival of the fittest, but it's definitely going to be the haves and have not, and it's going to be related around power and energy.